Maybe tonight we will fellowship concerning two very special persons mentioned in the book of Isaiah. And I think you can guess who these two persons are. Of course, the first one is King Cyrus. King Cyrus is mentioned quite a few times in the book of Isaiah. And definitely God is not just going to tell us today concerning the history in the past. Right? What's the use of knowing about King Cyrus if it's just something historical in the past? Right? Of course, it's good to know history. Some of the history, part of the history, are very important for us. But King Cyrus is mentioned in a very, very special way. Because without him, God's people will not be able to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, and the city of Jerusalem will not be rebuilt. And of course, then the prophecy of Jeremiah, the 70 years, exactly 70 years after the captivity in Babylon, that the whole people will return, not the whole people, but a remnant will return to Jerusalem. So here, let us read, for example, chapter 44 here. Towards the end of chapter 44. Here, talking about this wonderful God, because God is God. You have to believe that our God is the only true God. He is a very mighty God and the only God. There is none beside Him. You know, it is so amazing when I read again through the book of Isaiah, I feel sorry for God. You know why? Because He's trying so hard to tell His people, hey, come on, I am the only true God. There is none beside me. I am Alpha, I'm Omega, I'm the first and the last. I am the one who created the heavens and the earth, and I am your Redeemer. Right? And He is the Lord of hosts. He is a wonderful God, the God who knew everything, the God who knew what was in the past and what is in the present, and He can tell you what's going to happen in the future. And He challenges them and says, who among you knows what's going to happen tomorrow or even in the future what's going to happen? Right? And He says that so many times, pleading with His people. I feel a little bit ashamed. You know, if God has to try so hard to convince His own people that He is God, I said, oh goodness, I hope He doesn't have to do that with me. Does He? Does He have to do that with you? to try to find all kinds of way to convince you that He is your Almighty God. But these people are still deaf and will not accept that He is God. And here in this book especially, in order at that time to assure His people actually that He will definitely not only punish them and judge them by the Babylonians coming to destroy and to destroy the temple, the city, and bring them to captivity, but He also wants to assure them that it is only a limited time and He will bring them back. And so in order to assure them that God is going to bring them back, he even tells them how he's going to do it. It's amazing. Right? And how is he going to do it? Through whom? Through King Cyrus. Approximately 200 years before even King Cyrus was born. Can you imagine that? Yeah. In verse 28 of chapter 44, he says, of course he's talking to them about how mighty he is, right? How he's going to do so many things for them. And who also here says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. If at that time I was there, I would ask him, oh, who is this Cyrus? Who are you talking about? Where is he from? And here God says very clearly through Isaiah, and he is my shepherd, to bring his people back. And he shall perform all my pleasure. That means this man Cyrus is going to do everything that God tells him to do. And what is the most important thing? Saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built. And to the temple, your foundation shall be laid again. God said that a couple of hundred years. It depends on when he is referring to concerning Cyrus, whether the time he became a king or not, or the time of even his birth. So you can really see God is really God. Even before that person was born, he already even called his name. Cyrus. Who do you think named him Cyrus? His parents? No. No. God already designated his name Cyrus. And I believe it must be Josephus, a famous Jewish historian, who mentioned concerning Daniel that when Cyrus became the king, and Daniel was the most famous, occupying the highest position, and he's the highest minister there at that time, and a very faithful man, and he's a prophet as well, and respected by every king. Oh, he served so many kings. Right. So he was the one who showed King Cyrus, Isaiah talked about you, even mentioned your name. Can you imagine? Suppose you were King Cyrus, and Isaiah came to you and showed them, hey, King Cyrus, here, my God already knew about you before you were born. 200 years during the time of Isaiah. Yeah. At least 150 years there. Your name was mentioned. What do you think you will feel? What would you think, Brian?
Be
scared. Scared? Are you sure you're scared? You'll feel honored. What? Your God knew me before I was born and even knew my name and called me a shepherd, his shepherd, and even said what I was going to be, a conqueror. In chapter 45, and thus says the Lord to his anointed, and I was even his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. You mean to say, wow, he is even holding me, my right hand? And then to subdue the nations before him. Wow, what if God tells you this through Isaiah? Are you still going to be scared? No, no, you know, he's not scared anymore. How would you feel now? Yeah, you will definitely feel confident. If such a God really is with me, who can be against me? And he said, I'm going to conquer and subdue all the nations. Because if he is not such a person, he would have no authority to release the remnant of God's people to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple and partially to rebuild the city. So God is such a wonderful God. And that return from Babylon is very crucial for the Lord's first coming. Otherwise, where will the Lord be born? There will be no Israel. Right? There will be nobody there in Bethlehem, probably. Right? And it is not possible for him to come the first time. And the temple will not be rebuilt. No Jerusalem. So what is he coming for? So, here it says, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. That means if God is holding your right hand, nobody can defeat you. Nobody could defeat King Cyrus. He is a real conqueror. And to loose the armor of kings, that means he will defeat all kings that comes against him, or the kings that he tried to conquer. Yeah. To open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut, because in those days the gates of the cities, the wall are high, and the iron gates there were shut. If you want to conquer that land, you have to really use a lot of power. Right? But it was written, when Cyrus conquered Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon, the gates were open. And he just practically walked in, and there was absolutely no fighting, and he just walked in and took over. You remember that king that saw the writing on the wall, telling him that the Persian and the Medians are coming? And sure enough, that very evening, Cyrus walked in. That's how he conquered Babylon. He just walked in. Yeah, it's amazing how the word of God was so accurate. Can you imagine? And I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. So who did it? Is it King Cyrus? Or is it God? It was God using King Cyrus. I will even give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Although In history, it is written that King Cyrus, in his conquest, did not desire any of his riches. And he distributed much of the riches in the spoil of the nations that he conquered, he distributed to his soldiers. He's not for himself. Yep. And all of these were said that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel. And it was for Jacob, my servant's sake, in Israel, my elect. I have even called you by your name, and I have named you. So, who named him? The parents? Well, I'm not even sure that the parents were born yet. Do you believe in such a God? You know why you're called Mark? Who named you Mark? Your mom? Where did you get the idea to call him Mark? Because he's marked out by God. Mark, you're marked out even before you were born. Praise the Lord. That's why you're sitting here today. Right? Our God is a wonderful God. And you have to know him. If you don't know him, you just thought, okay, I'm saved. Praise the Lord, I'm a Savior. But he's more than just a Savior. He's God who arranged everything because he knows you. He knows each one of us by name, by person. Yep. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me. Cyrus was a Median. He was a Persian. Right? In that land in the early days, there were idol worshippers. He didn't know God. He didn't know God. Right? You have not known me. Right? I will gird you though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, from the east to the west, there is none besides me. Amen. I am the Lord as there is no other. Wow, how many times did God have to say this in this chapter? So how much do you know God? Do you know this wonderful God? You said you believe in God. What kind of a God do we have? A wonderful God. He really is God. The more you know him, the more you will just trust in him. You'll not be a worrier. You'll be a warrior, not a worrier. What are you? Are you a warrior? A mighty warrior like Cyrus? Or are you a worrier? You can't sleep day and night worrying over this. You're worrying over that. You're worrying what's going to happen next. And you're worrying, well, what am I going to eat tomorrow? You're going to worry about everything. So what are you? You prefer to be a warrior, a conqueror? Did not the word of God says we are more than conquerors? Oh, you're a little Cyrus. How about that? If you know this God, you can sleep well. Exactly. Right. You don't need any sleeping pills. Because you have no worry. Trust in that living God. You just lie down and you go to sleep. Yeah. It's written in Psalm 127, he gives his beloved sleep. Praise the Lord. So, I wish you all a good night's sleep tonight. He is God. Praise the Lord. And I form the light and create darkness. I make peace, even create calamity. I, the Lord, who do all these things. What a wonderful God. Right? So King Cyrus here is a very important person mentioned there to accomplish God's plan. And let me tell you again tonight, the reason why he is mentioned here is not just for us to know historical facts, but that he will appoint another King Cyrus to end the age. As I mentioned to you right in the very beginning, and it's good to know, I'm going to erase all these not so important things here. Yeah, I don't care about the beast. So, praise the Lord, right? You remember Daniel talk about the 70 weeks, and this is very important for us to know. I'm going to use red. In Daniel chapter 9, God specially separated 70 weeks for his people. And in this 70 weeks, so many important events will take place from the beginning, right? Which is the return of God's people from Babylon, right? To rebuild the temple and the house and the city until the very end of the peace treaty and the covenant, and then the final destruction of the world, a terrible destruction. So 70 weeks were separated regarding the nation of Israel, regarding the nation of Israel. So this 70 weeks, we can say that it begins with King Cyrus. Although in Daniel chapter 9 it says the 70 weeks will be counted when the decree is given by the king, right, for the rebuild of the city. But if King Cyrus did not let his people come back to rebuild the temple, there won't be any rebuilding of the city and the walls of the city. Right? So, the start is very clear. It starts with King Cyrus. Praise the Lord. It started with King Cyrus. Because no king was mentioned in the decree of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. Although we know it was King Artaxerxes. But that name was not mentioned. But King Cyrus was mentioned several times. Several times. In Isaiah. So, the landmark is really King Cyrus. Although the beginning of the counting of the 70 years was through King Artaxerxes and Nehemiah. It was not Ezra. But praise the Lord, right, we can rightfully say the landmark of the 70 weeks is with King Cyrus. Because that name was particularly mentioned. And remember, without him, there won't be any 70 weeks. Clear? So if people tell you, you're wrong, 70 weeks did not start with King Cyrus. We never said it started with King Cyrus. But let them say whatever they want. don't argue with anybody, right? Okay. Then, you can really see that all these 70 weeks beginning here, right? Let us put it here, up to the 70 weeks. Right? But we're going to stop here at 69th week. Because it is at this point the Messiah was cut off, killed. And this is another landmark. And what is hidden in the Old Testament days is that after the 69th week, here you have the new covenant. The new covenant started, which is 2,000 years. Right? We made a little gap there. This is 2,000 years of the new covenant of grace, the age of grace, and the age of life, and the age of the building, right, of the church. This part was hidden from the prophets during the days of the Old Testament times. So they did not see this, even Daniel did not see this, because it was hidden in God. It was a mystery hidden in God. Right? And then at the end of the covenant age, at this point in time, the 70th week, the 70th week will begin, which is the last 7 years here. 7 years will continue. But in between, right, here it is 483 years. Because 70 weeks, right, all together is 490 years. So there was a gap in between, a gap of 2,000 years. For the sake of the nations, that the gospel will be preached to all the nations. Right? So this period of time was hidden. And now we are coming to this point where the 70th week will continue. So if you can use your imagination, and this part is covered. So this whole 70 weeks is this 69 weeks plus the 70th week here. So at this point in time, that's the 69th week, the end of 483 years. And 1 week is lacking. When is that 1 week going to appear? Did God forget it? God miscounted. God forgot 1 week. God lost. Did he forget? If we kid it about, nalimutan na. We kid. God forgot the 70th week, miscounted. Do you think so? Of course not. The last week is very important because it is going to close out this age. That is why the last week is very important. It is the closing of this age. Amen. So this is why Israel has to be recovered in 1948, and Jerusalem has to be returned to the Jews in 1967, because this week belongs to this 70 weeks, which 100% refers to the nation of Israel. Does it make sense? No. All of these young people here all have a good mind, right? Does it make sense to you all, yeah? Right? So now you can really see that is why at this point in 1948, 1967, and now we are talking about 2014, 2015, the Tetrad, you remember? And then Now, after this very point, Israel has to be ready to continue with the 69th week here. And this is why the last 7 years begins with the peace treaty regarding Israel and the surrounding nations. Now it's going back to Israel. And then all the nations now are so much against Israel. In Revelation, in Zechariah, and the Old Testament days, even Jeremiah mentioned too, and some other prophets, that at the end the whole nation will gather again to destroy, to fight against Israel. And all this, so at this time here, the problem again comes back. Make sense? Right? So not only should you understand this, I hope you all, young people especially, will learn how to explain it to other people. It's not just for you to know, but you have to learn how to explain it in a very clear and accurate way. Any question about this? Brian? No? Okay, praise the Lord. Huh? No question about this. Right? So, since it started with King Cyrus, God will have to prepare another King Cyrus here. So, who is this king going to be here to accomplish this covenant, this treaty, you tell me? There need to be another King Cyrus. That's why I told you what Donald means. You know, everybody knows the word Donald. You're giving me a riddle about Mac, M-A-C-D-O-N-A-L-D. You're trying to trap me, right? I don't care about the hamburger. But this Donald is a Celtic or Gaelic name that means conqueror, ruler of the world. This is what Donald means. Not MacDonald, but Donald. MacDonald means that M, well, you know. That's a different MacDonald. That's what you eat once in a while. Yes. Yeah, well, MacDonald almost conquered the world. In the fast food section. But Donald means the ruler of the world. Yes. You can Google it. You can Google it. But that's what a name means. You'll be very surprised. And what about Trump? What does it mean? It derives from the word triumph. But the word Trump means you hold the Trump card. All those who are playing cards will know if you hold the Trump card, if that's the winning card, you will win in whatever you do if you hold that Trump card. Right? And who is holding the Trump card today? Yeah. That means this ruler of the world will win. I tell you, he is winning. And this man doesn't like to lose. Really. This is his character. He doesn't like to lose. And he will win. And up to this present moment, he is winning. In spite of all the opposition against him, at the end he comes out on top. Maybe it's just an accident. I don't know. As I said, I'm not a prophet. But you have to realize that it doesn't matter who it is. But God would have to prepare another person, another Cyrus here, that will do exactly the same here. Right? And to continue the 70th week and to finish and right, close the age. This is the closing of our age today. Of our age today. Right. The last 7 years. You need to see this. And the Lord just opened up the word, especially at this time, giving us the burden to talk about the book of Isaiah. I didn't plan this, okay? Don't think I planned it. I didn't plan it. I'm not so clever. And I'm not a prophet that knows what's going to happen. But it just so happened that the Lord burdened us with the book of Isaiah. And especially in this conference. Yep. The Lord has indicated to us that He needs a Cyrus today. And in the beginning of this year, Israel, Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, and the Sanhedrin wrote a letter, a message to the President of the United States and says, "We believe you are the modern day Cyrus to help us rebuild the temple in Jerusalem." Where did they get such crazy dream? You can see that in the Jerusalem Post, right, John? Where was that news out? It was in Jerusalem Post, I think. Yeah, or breaking news, whatever. But I'm sure it was in Jerusalem Post. When we saw that and read that, the heart jumps a little bit. What? They think and they believe that this man is going to be the modern day Cyrus. Who knows? Maybe it is true, maybe it is not. Are you going to take chances? Are you going to take a chance to bet that he's not? And just relax and don't care? What if he is? Oh Lord Jesus, so we have to look a little bit into this personality here concerning Cyrus in page number 6. Right. Specific prophecy in Roman numeral 9. Specific prophecy regarding Cyrus. Some 200 years before his reign in 536 BC. And I have all these verses for you to read if you're interested. If you're not, it doesn't matter. But if you are, you can read it. And then you can see historical evidence that the Lord is the only true God. After reading all these, you cannot help but believe He is really God. Because no one could predict such a person so accurately in every move, everything that he does. Yes, number one, calling Cyrus by name. long before he existed. Who can do that? Long before he existed. And even pointing out his origin from the east, from the rising of the sun. Right. And from the west as well. Why? Because his origin was a Median. And at that time, Median and Persian are two different countries. Right? So although he started as a Median, but then he married the daughter of the king of the Persian, and later on he became the Persian king. Yeah. Making him a ruler and a conqueror feared by the nations. You can read Isaiah 41, 2b to verse 7. Well, such a conqueror, everybody will be trembling. All of a sudden there arose such a conqueror that will take over the whole nations there. Right? And even foretelling his character, calling him a righteous man. But not righteous according to the new covenant sense. But you know, history tells us that King Cyrus, although he was a mighty conqueror, but every time he conquered a nation, he was very lenient. He let them still practice a religion, for example. Right? And he was a very open fellow. That is why he was willing to let the Jews go back. No conqueror would really allow that and do that. They will make him slaves. Just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not going to let God's people go. But this man, he did it. Right? And designated here as a righteous man, calling him his anointed. God's appointed shepherd to perform all God's pleasure. And all these verses here you can read. So many verses talk about King Cyrus. Number one, regards to God's purpose. God is going to use him to destroy Babylon, to judge Babylon. Yeah. Because Babylon overdid what God wanted them to do. Yeah. So, number one, to destroy Babylon. And then number two, to release God's people to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, right? And to rebuild Jerusalem, to lay the foundation of the temple. This is really amazingly fulfilled to details. Really amazing. And then in Isaiah 45 verse 13, he is not doing it for a prize or for a reward. Let us read, since we're in Isaiah 45. I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free. And not for price or reward, says the Lord of hosts. And you know, today, this president of the United States, becoming a president is not for any money. He was not going to make one penny out of his presidency, unlike the previous two presidents that pocketed so much money. Trump, he kept his promise. He's not doing it for money, he said. And he donated all of his salary. Whatever he received up to now, you know, the salary of the president is around half a million. 400,000, something like that. Would you like to give it away, 400,000, half a million? Who would like to do that? Would you, Mark? He's smiling. I like his smile. But this man did it to make this country great again. Why? Because he says he owes that country too much. He was very successful in his business. And so he says, I want to give it back to this country to which I owe so much. And already whatever he received in up to this point here, he donated everything. Of course he cannot donate everything, so he kept $1. How about that? Oh Lord, not for prize or reward. And now here, somebody sitting there, becoming the most powerful man in the world, President of the United States, is the most powerful man on earth today. Right. And when he became president, he started to fear God. Really, he started to fear God. And how many times he mentioned the name of God. Yeah. So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he shall call on the Lord's name. Isaiah 41 verse 25. He shall call on the Lord's name. And sure enough, you know, this is the first president that started a Bible study every week in the White House. Huh? You want to join a Bible study? Should I register you? My brother would like to join your Bible study one time. The next time you come to visit the States, may he? A Bible study in the White House, never heard of. Amazing. Really amazing. No, I'm not trying to convince you that he is the guy, okay? It just so happens that it sounds very familiar in Isaiah, that's all. And with regards to the nation, he will conquer them and rule over the kings. So, never a president in the United States where he was so much opposed by everybody, by the Democrats. Democrats. By the mainstream media, by the whole of Hollywood, practically, even the athletes, the NFL, those athletes, for no good reason at all, oppose him. All this, many of the celebrities, right? Everyone, practically, and even his own party, many of them betrayed him. And yet he is there on top of everything. Yeah, praise the Lord. Just wait. Let's hope and see whether he is going to rule over them. No, North Korea is a good training. Right? It's just a little sort of morning exercise for Trump. That's not a big problem for him, but it's a good exercise. And God will open before him the double doors and the gates. You know, double doors are strong doors and the gates. And make the crooked places straight. You know, what did he say he wanted to do in the United States?
Build a wall.
Who says that? Build a wall. That's right. That's right, because it's so crooked. And Not only to build the wall, what did he say? He want to start with a D and end with
drain the swamp.
Because the whole politics was so crooked. That's why all the politicians, especially the crooked ones, were so against him, because otherwise they'll be ending up in jail. So he's going to make the crooked places straight. Well, let's take a look about that. If he's indeed Cyrus, the modern day Cyrus, then he'll have to make the crooked places straight. So, well, he's already starting. Well, let's see whether he will finish the job. And he will break in peace the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. You know, there's so much power there that is opposing him. So, let's see if he can break them. That's why I told some people, and some are saying, Jesus, wait one more year to see, and there will be more confirmation whether he is or he is not. Yeah. That's why I have a whole list here to check the list. Right? The next time when you print it, you should put a little square before every point. Check, 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 check. If you can check all the boxes, he may be the one. But we don't know, right? That's why I told you I don't like to talk about doctrines, but I really to know. I like to know the reality. I like to know who is this modern day Cyrus that can end this age. And really, he made the peace treaty in the Middle East his top priority, as a very offset of his presidency. Yeah, so check. You have to tick that and make a check. Amen. And God has given him, or will give him, the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. My, let me tell you, he already has saved the United States and the treasury of the U.S. billions, several hundred billions in the first 10 months of his tenure as president. He already saved the United States, I don't know how many hundreds of billions, and has gained and won so many jobs in the United States.
Just last week, the report says that the United States economy has grown.
Yes. And everybody who, before he was president, just at the very beginning, said, "Oh, you're going to sell everything. This guy is going to ruin our country." Although he promised he's going to make the country great again. Oh, well, another tick. Check the box. Praise the Lord. And all because, my, we spend so much about this Cyrus. It's all because God held his right hand and guided him. It's not because he is so smart. Well, maybe he is. But you cannot just win by being smart. You need to be guided by the hand of the Almighty God. Because you need power to fight against all those hidden power. The shadow government, they call it. Yep. So, praise the Lord. Now you know why King Cyrus in Isaiah is so important. It's not just for our curiosity. And why do you think the Lord will open this up at this time? It's because the time is near. We are near this time here to close the age and to close up now this gap. So once this age is over, you could extend now the 70 years. Clear? Amen? Any doubts? Any questions? No question, right? Wow, amazing. Everybody's clear. Everybody's clear. Because it is clear. Because it is very simple. Why is it very simple to us today? It's because the time has come and the Lord opens this up to us. That's why you can see it. Even Mark understands, right? Mark? Is it clear, Mark? A question.
Why is 1 week 7 years again?
Why? Because Daniel very clearly says he will make a covenant with many people there in that area for 1 week. And this 1 week equals 7 years. In Daniel, the 70 weeks is not days, 7 days a week. No, 1 week is 7 years there. So it is a week year, not a weekdays. Right, so God will not just give the people of Israel 70 weeks. No, it doesn't work like that. So, but if you really see for God there, 1 week equals 7 years. So 70 years altogether is 490 years. So from the time that the decree was given to Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, the city, from that very time on until the day Christ was crucified is exactly 483 years, which is 69 weeks. Right? So up to this point, here it's no more 69, now altogether it is 70 years. So, up to this whole point here, all together, it is 70 weeks. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Clear? Brothers, yeah? So, I think we stop here instead of going on to Hezekiah. Tomorrow, let's forget about Hezekiah, okay? We'll use the 2 meetings tomorrow to continue to talk about our wonderful Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But because this point is important to, in a way, warn us that the time is really near. And yet don't be scared in it. Unhealthy way. No, that's not the main point. The main point is to help us to have a healthy fear that we will really wake up and we will have the consciousness and then do what we need to do to make it to the kingdom. That is the whole purpose. Okay?